Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver.
And this is Dan from Vancouver.
And Steve from Arizona.
We're the bookends. Steve and I are the bookends from you for you Vancouverites to keep you in line as we're doing this. And
good luck.
You know how you get out of line sometimes.
You're going to be busy.
We're in the book of Matthew. We are actually going through step by step. This is brand new to us. It's something very new. And I've been doing this for about 50 years. Andy, 40?
40.
Dan?
35.
You're going to make math a little bit harder. So 91, 25.
Like 13.
I'll say, let's say 15, 150. I'm about 150.
15.
165 years that we've been going through this. And you know what? It compounds. Because what you guys are learning, you will learn independent from me. You'll be showing me stuff. And same, you know, vice versa. Right, Andy? You've seen this for how long it's gone. Ray learned from you, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he learned from people that were skilled with the word. And Ray Past and John Steganga and Ivan Pannon and Jesse Bentley and Richard and Charles and all these people have passed things on to us. And we're all learners. I wouldn't call myself a teacher. I'm a learner. And we're a learner. We're learner sharers. And so we're giving this also to you folks. And thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Well, we like to hear from you too. My phone number is 480-205-3346, 480-205-3346.
And this is Andy, and my number is 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726.
And this is Steve. My phone number is 480-250-0472.
Hey, this is Brett. And if you find yourself in the Portland Metro, Vancouver area, give me a call, 360-314-5297. 360-314-5297.
And if you don't call Brett, you can call Dan at 360-991-1274. That's 360-991-1274.
And we happen to be Bible lovers. We love the scriptures, and I hope we love them more than our own lives. We want the Bible, it's the living word of God. The five of us here know it's a living word. And do you think the same way about the Bible, or have things changed as have you grown with it, or what's your experience?
I've over the last 13 years of looking into things and putting them to practice, it's really grown and it's become more 3D. It's living and active, and definitely learned a lot over the last number of years here.
Have you made it your own?
Yeah, I'm continuing to do that too.
Has anybody ever told you if I tell you something or Andy says, you always give us the credit, right? Or you don't hear that, do you?
No, I don't hear that.
What you hear is make it your own.
Make it your own.
Because you will have a certain angle of things that it won't be the way I deliver it because we're different people. We're looking at Jesus from a different angle. Same Lord, remember them in Mark 3, all sitting around him. And I might be looking at his elbow, you know, in the side of his face. Andy might be looking at his face. Steve might be looking at the back of his head. But we're all hearing and seeing the same thing. But he won't always be faced the same way. He might be turning around and you'll I'm sure you'll see the whole thing, but you'll still have your own slant because of you.
Yeah, it's like that you are the salt of the earth, and everybody's got their own little different, everybody's got their own personality, and that's something that God wants to use. We're not robots. He didn't make us to just be one person. He wants to use us. He made us, and he wants to use us for us.
He says that he likens it to a body, and that we're all different parts of that body, and that we are necessary for each other. And the more you go down the road, you find out how much you need your foot if you want to go walk. You get my point.
And you know what? When it mentioned the body, this is in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to check us out. You know, one is a hand, one is an eye. It says one is a hand, one is an eye, one is a foot. So let's say if I'm a foot, I'm only one foot. And the 2x2, can you see that where he sent them out 2x2?
The two balance. Hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, 2 ears.
5 holes in our head. Oh, actually, men do have the number 5 were men. How many fingers? 5 on each? 5 toes on each? And Ivan Panin mentioned this too. We also have 5 holes in our head. Shouldn't be talking like that, should I? Anyway, doesn't sound very complimentary, but we all have 5 holes in our head.
You know, Gil, the Bible has, to me, has become like an instruction manual. I'm a technical guy. I work on mechanical things, and I go to the Bible to find out how to fix things that's wrong in my life, and by reading it every day, the Lord shows me new things that I need to do better. And how to do them.
I flunked out my first year in junior. I didn't even flunk out of university. I flunked out of junior college. And I had a little bit of problem concentrating. And anyway, this gentleman started me on the foundation word studies. And in 2 years, I went from just being... I was starting to be a manager of a survey crew, which consisted of maybe 2-3 people. And within 2 years, I'm actually running a whole survey division in an engineering company. And I was just going by the fundamentals in the scriptures, and I found out things about how to treat each other. I applied those to my work, and anybody that worked for me, I made him my equal. Anybody that worked for me, I taught him to do exactly what I did, which you could make somebody better than yourself and you'd be out of a job. But what was funny, I didn't plan on staying in any one place terribly long. And so I could apply. I tried this place after place where I worked. I'd see people working and I said, hey, look, if you want my job, I'll train you how to do it. And how do you think that guy worked? Do you think he worked hard? And he would pay attention. He'd work with me. We'd work together. And sometimes he would take the lead. You know, I don't care if you're trained as whatever you're trained in, there'll be people that'll come along that'll have ideas better than yours. And you'll notice certain talents in people. And if you increase those, you're actually becoming a manager. Shouldn't do everything, but they should inspire people to do their absolute best. And, you know, you get under them. You're not over the top of them. You should help them out that way. But I tried to pattern I didn't call myself a manager. It's more like being a friend to people. I had a lot of friends that I started in engineering, and they became my friends, which I thought was rather interesting. And I move on to the next place, and it was a lot of fun. So I just used... just nothing but the Bible in my, you know, they call it HR, human resources.
Yeah.
This is much better manual, isn't it?
It is.
So
there's a psalm. It says, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So it instructs us on how to walk.
The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And if I stand fast in the word of the Lord, I will be with him at last, at last, at last. The commandment is the lamp, the law is the light, the reproofs of instruction are the way to life. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And if I stand fast in the word of the Lord, I will be with him at last, at last, at last.
Matthew 16:24-27. Again, we're looking at Matthew as being the first grade, the first step. And so reading through the book of Matthew, the instructions that come right from Jesus' mouth and these stories. And this book is about the kingdom of the heavens coming down to earth. Now, we've passed the place where Jesus gave his friends that had walked with him, his disciples, he gave them the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. And Mark is where we're already part of God's household and we're learning how to serve one another. But we're still back here in step one, learning about the kingdom of the heavens and what pleases the Lord in this new government that we're in. It has a king and Jesus is the king. This is all part of Matthew. So Matthew 16:17-27.
And when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their own sons or from the strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." And Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money, and take it and give it to them for me and for you."
So it shows walking in the Lord, we have two things we are concerned about, right? And we're set free from the law, but we still have to be careful of offending somebody. If we believe things that, let's say you're ministering to somebody, you'll have to be careful that you do things that you don't look like a kook.
And in the Panons here, it says in verse 25, "Doth not your teacher pay the half shekel?" And I thought I heard Andy's translation say that it was the temple tax.
Right.
And when down in verse 27, when Jesus tells them to go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish, did the fish open his mouth and have a half a shekel? No, he gave them a shekel, which was more than they needed.
For both of them.
Give it to them for each.
Thank you. That's what it was. So he gave it for both.
Right.
Just the right amount.
They were covered.
Yeah.
I never read this before. I never did ever notice this. And when he had come to the house, Jesus anticipated him saying something about it. He knew he was going to say something about it and just starts going on, "What do you think about this, Simon?"
Well, Jesus is eternal.
Well, he didn't even know. He wasn't even around to hear that. And he just started a conversation with what was on his mind.
Well, this, it never says that, but what happened, what was the event that happened in chapter 17, 1 through 13? Now that we're reading this in order, we're not too far away from what? Because he was born in the form of a man, but something happened in chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. And this is the same chapter. What happened?
He was transfigured. This is, which means from one figure to another, from one thing, yeah, something's going on here.
There's a metamorphosis going on. Metamorphosis is the word, our word. There was a change that went on.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly. We don't want to carry that on too far, but he is acting different now because now for the first time, He anticipated it, didn't he? Is this portraying what a person is once they're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit within them? Is this portraying what a person is in the Old Testament and their abilities, and now maybe some new abilities once they're Holy Spirit filled? Do you think that's showing that? He anticipated it. Do you have different senses since 13 years ago?
Yes. Yeah, I'd say.
You know, Dan used to, he thinks he saw me in the nut house. How many years ago do you think you saw me in the nut house?
The nut loft.
Oh, the nut loft. The nut house. Well, I like to tell it my way, Dan. I got everybody's attention.
It sounds like a totally different story, right?
I got everybody's attention.
You did.
It was this place on the Loa Boulevard that sold nuts and dried fruit. And I like to call it the nut house. But he saw me there. He used to live in Washington Square that we used to go to a lot. And yeah. Who knows? There are some people that catch your attention.
You know, it's interesting how Jesus told him, he says, go to the sea and cast in a hook. Now, these were not hook folk.
These were net.
They were net
folk.
They
were fished with net.
He told him to do a hook because he just wanted him to catch one. And so he just did what he said. He didn't say, well, you know, he told him to go do it that way. Now, remember, they were mending their nets. It didn't say they were mending their hooks. So he sent, I've heard people say, oh, he doesn't fish with hooks. Jesus told him to go use a hook on this one because he wanted a specific fish that was going to get on there that had a specific shekel in its mouth. That's just interesting there.
Have you ever followed that word hook around in the Bible and seen it any other place? That'd be curious.
No, I haven't. I mean,
I'll bet you somebody's going to now.
Just to show you how much I paid attention to when I underlined my Bible, guess what's under that? Cast a hook, and I underlined it. I've never even thought of it. So maybe I'll look that hook up, Gil. I'll look that hook and see if it lives anywhere else in the New Testament.
Huh.
Chapter 18 of Matthew 1 through 7. Now, if anybody sees something that's back or whatever, like we just transgressed back to the transfiguration where he was changed, this transfiguration, I just have never thought about this before. This is the first time I've thought about it. You know, there's three baptisms. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then in chapter 12, there's a baptism, for we are baptized in one spirit into one body. So it's in a cloud, in the sea or in water, and in one spirit, baptized in one spirit. Baptism means you're immersed. Immersed in one cloud, immersed in the water, immersed in the spirit. And he was transfigured, and his face shone like the sun. Does that sound like Moses? And Moses is with him. So it sounds like this is a face-to-face with the Father, right?
Something's causing this is a shining face.
Yeah, remember him on...
Because he's there.
He came down garments. From the mountain. He had Moses' face shown.
Yeah, and the garments white. This sounds very familiar to Moses.
And they went on a high mountain.
Yeah.
All this is matching up.
This is the kingdom of the heavens.
On the mountain.
And
when the Father's there.
And that same event is when the law was presented, the Ten Commandments. And now here's where the transfiguration is happening.
But look at how, and there's healing going on here. He deals with, oh, I can't bother. You're a demoniac. You're acting weird. He didn't cross over the street and walk on the other side. He confronts it and cures the gentleman. And then it gets into paying taxes. Here people are seeing all these things, but still pay taxes.
Isn't it funny that is dropped in there?
Yeah.
That story is in there. Because people are going to have a question about that.
And some people are going to go ahead and act like kooks, try to be different than other people, and they'll probably try to white.
I don't like that part.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus just said, and he said the reason to do it.
It's not to offend them.
Not to offend them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you offend somebody, you're turning them away right off the get-go.
Because it's more important to do that, to not offend them, so they will hear the message from you.
By the way, offense is not hurt feelings. Hurt feelings are, people use that way too much, and I can prove that out. It is not hurt feelings. It means to hurt. It means to really hurt somebody, to do damage.
The word, is it a scandal?
Yeah, it's scandal.
It's a scandal.
It's a scandal. You know, you shooting a person, that's a scandal. Robbing, that's a scandal. That'd be a scandal. Boy, people can sure do a lot more today and not even cause a scandal.
So this wouldn't be like tax invasion?
Yeah, yeah.
This would be like breaking a law that would cause you, the scandal would cause grief on you.
Not a petty law. We're talking a felonious,
yeah,
something that is that actually does damage to a person. Yeah, scandalon is the Greek word. Does that make a difference with you about offense? It's a scandal.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. People can forgive that. They can forgive things that are misspoken. It's not talking about that at all. Okay, 18:1-7. Thanks for bringing that up, Andy. You know, I've taught these things over the years, and I've forgotten what I've taught. So you guys,
so well, now I'm remembering it.
So now you know much. I heard more, it. Now no. You know much more than I do because I'm 76.
It's still in there, Gil.
Yeah, I don't know. 1-7, please.
In that hour came the disciples to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greater in the kingdom of the heavens?" And he called to him a little child, and set it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say unto you, except ye turn and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greater in the kingdom of the heavens. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall stumble one of these little ones believing unto me, it is profitable for him that a great millstone be hanged about his neck, and he be sunk into the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the stumblings, for the stumblings must needs come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling cometh."
Brings a little child into this, doesn't it? When we moved to Albuquerque, we had 16 little pairs of shoes sitting along our couch. There's 16 shoes, 8 pair. And they went from age three to about 8, 9, or 10. And these two little girls, I won't tell you their names, they were 3. They could be screaming and yelling at each other, "I hate you. I'll never talk to you again." And 5 minutes later, what are they doing?
Playing.
Exactly. Isn't that funny? They bring up little children. So this has got to be more than just a little offense where you get mad for the moment. And it's not worth taking to bed, to going to sleep on it. And so this is doing damage. And how about little children, Brand? Maybe a 90. They were little children, but also there was a 93-year-old little child in there. He was the largest home builder in the state of New Mexico. Largest home builder. Went through the death march, the battalion death march. And he became a little child. And he started devouring the Bible. He'd spend 3 hours a day reading it, went through all the foundations, went all the way through it. And he goes, he didn't tell me what he wanted, but he goes, "Gilbert, I want another one of those things." I go, "Oh, you want another foundation book?" He goes, "Yep, things. Another one of those things. 150 pages of great, great learning." But these little kids, if you ever watch them, they're enemies at 1 minute and they're bosom buddies the next. Isn't it interesting? He uses a child, these little guys. So a child, it says, unless we become like little children. Where did it say that? Is that in this context or before it?
Verse three. Become as little children.
Oh, there we go.
Amen.
But if you harm one of these, so what he's talking about, really what it's pointing out here is these are little children, new people in the Lord.
And this is the context that just followed the scandal with the taxes. And now this says King James doesn't have it right. It says, if you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, that is not what it says. It says, if you cause a scandal about them, it's not them doing something, it's you putting them into something that's really hard and hurting them.
It sounds like a talebearer.
Yeah, and it's maybe doing something to the little child. It's not the little child doing something.
And it's not necessarily talking about age. It's talking about a person's life in the Lord. If he is young, if he is under a certain age in the Lord, under when a person would normally come to maturity, like his first year in the Lord, or maybe second year in the Lord.
And so it says, and whoever scandalons one of these little ones. So that's not just nothing. That is big.
Yeah.
And that's really going after one of them.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be better. It says that you were hanged. Then you can see what it's saying here. It'd be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So, okay, if it would be better if you had that, what is the worst that he's really angling on there? What does God talk about doing in situations? He talks about putting them in outer darkness and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says it would be better if you got that. It's going to be to do this to one of my little ones. So God likes the little ones. He's protecting them.
It could be babies. It could be little children. It could be brand new people in the Lord.
Those still relying on the milk of the word.
Yeah.
And it is the people that humble themselves as a little child.
Right.
The people that humble themselves as a little child, and you put a scandal on them, wow.
We've met people that are childish, they're older people, they're smart, some might be brilliant in their thought patterns, but their maturity, they're still young. And they have different names, psychologists and so on have different names for it. But
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
But we have a man that we work with, and he's, and you would think that he's a little child in ways, but boy, he'll say some things that are really sober.
Yes, it's interesting what you run to now, what we run into in the Lord, but we are running out of time again. And we'll continue on in Matthew. Thank you for joining us, and may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.